How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We have a lot of news to talk about today. A lot of news that actually happened last Sunday, conveniently right after we went off the air, the TNA pay-per-view. Very newsworthy show, particularly the broken neck suffered in the opener moments after we went off the air by Jesse Sorensen, a potentially life-threatening injury. He's doing better. We're going to tell you all about that here on the program today. Plus, big backstage news in TNA. Vince Russo, after all of these years, is gone. People have been expecting me to talk a lot more about this, but I don't know what to say. He's been gone many times. He always finds a way back. But we'll talk about the departure of Vince Russo, changes to TNA, and we'll talk about last week's show. And then tonight, Elimination Chamber, going on the air moments after this show ends, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. It is the WWE's final pay-per-view before WrestleMania. And in the main event, a SmackDown Elimination Chamber match, which actually is going on first. But in that match for the championship is none other than Santino Marella. Why is that happening? What is going on? What are his chances of winning? Outside of zero. We'll talk about that here in a moment as we preview the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Also, this past Wednesday, the debut of UFC on Fuel. Highest ratings ever for Fuel. But what does that mean? We'll talk about that, plus upcoming shows. UFC in Japan is coming up this weekend. There is the Ronda Rousey-Misha Tate fight coming up March 3rd. And then March 7th, the beginning of the new season of Ultimate Fighter, which is live. The Faber versus Cruz series. We'll tell you all about that. Plus, a WWE developmental wrestler, believe it or not, busted for drinking and driving down in Florida. Probably about the 15th. We'll talk to you about that. Plus, Raw tomorrow night, WrestleMania, tons of stuff. Got a big show today coming up after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Tonight, the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. It starts moments after we go off the air. 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. A bunch of big matches on the show tonight. It is the final pay-per-view before WrestleMania. We'll find out who the champions are going to be going into WrestleMania. And soon, we'll find out which of these men, Sheamus, the winner of the 2012 Royal Rumble, will be facing at WrestleMania this year. And Mike, how you doing this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever we may be in the world?
All parts of the day, I'm feeling pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's good to hear.
I don't know that, though. Now, when this show is over, I'm going to spend, about $44.95 for a pay-per-view that I'm not feeling all that good about. People, you know, they're looking at the Republican debates that have been going on, and I'm sure, because much like when you watch those political debates, by the end of them, you end up hating everybody, and I got that feeling on Monday.
They did have a debate.
A debate?
They had a verbal debate on Raw.
Do you remember when the Elimination Chamber started, and there was Goldberg and all these guys, and it was like, Eric Bischoff's incredible steel, you know, contraption of death. And yes, he knew they were going to create games out of it, and they actually created a pretty good toy setup out of it and everything. But it was about doom and death and mayhem and destruction, and, you know, men may not be able to walk out of this thing. And then they sold it with a debate on Monday.
Now, I mean, I watch all the shows. Actually, shockingly, I haven't watched SmackDown yet. I haven't seen Santino qualify, but have they made a big deal? Have they even explained really what the chamber is on any of the television shows? Have I missed something?
No, they haven't. I don't think they actually even, you know, I guess the Royal Rumble, they did say 90 seconds in one of those video clips, but they've gotten out of the habit of even, like, bothering to explain any of this nonsense. It's just dudes in there, and then they were playing for, what, last week, they were playing for who gets the last and final spot, which I found odd, just because there's the only bit of drama that they, you know, kind of had for this thing was, okay, who's going to be like the 30th man and get in last, and then they gave that away.
I just remember that, like, they used to have that big video where there's the blueprint of the chamber, and they're talking about how 10 tons of steel chain and this and that and bulletproof glass. And, you know, I always wonder, I was on TNA about this assumption that everybody watching your show has been watching since day one and they know everything. You know, they have that, like when Chelsea came back on the show on Thursday, I'm watching this show and there's Chelsea. And yes, I am a person who has watched virtually every single Impact since day one, God forbid. But they bring Chelsea back and the announcer's like, there's Chelsea. You know, and they say it in the exact same way that you'd say, there's Ric Flair, there's Gunner, there's Chelsea. Chelsea hasn't been on TV for months. Months and months and months and months and months. I don't know where she went. I don't know why she's back. They didn't tell me. I guess they just assume that we all know who Chelsea is. We all know she's a heel. And hey, she's back on the show for really no good reason whatsoever. Kind of like that with the Chamber. You know, I look back and I look at like that one, I think it was that Chamber match. Pretty sure it was a Chamber match where like Rob Van Dam came off the pod and nearly killed Triple H with like a knee to the neck. A couple of years ago, this pay-per-view actually took place in, it was either Seattle or Portland, close enough that I went live. And my God, was that a great pay-per-view. Just a great pay-per-view. And they had two great Elimination Chamber matches. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, yep, no mention of that. No clips of that. No clips of that. What did we get instead? A debate. And now listen, we'll talk about the matches here in a second. But the SmackDown Chamber matches got both Santino and the Great Khali in it. The match is probably not going to be very good. And it's probably going to be fairly quick. They're going to get it over with. But the Raw Chamber, a lot of good workers, a lot of talented guys in there. That could be an awesome match. But after watching Raw Monday, I don't think people are thinking, man, we might get an awesome match. They're thinking, wow, that debate sucked. I don't know. I just feel like they dropped the ball on this pay-per-view like they've done on a lot of them in the past. And I know that some fans get on me about, you know, you're always so negative. You always talk about how they dropped the ball. Well, I'm looking at the buy rate numbers and they're horrible. So, you know, maybe there's something to this whole drop the ball on the pay-per-view thing. I don't think this pay-per-view is going to do all that great.
No, either do I. I mean, it, you know, 170 or less, easy, you know. And the disappointing thing is it's a double-headed thing of why it's disappointing. You know, there's, what I'd say, what, 4, 8, 12, say 16 weeks all combined between your lead-up rolling into the Royal Rumble, going into WrestleMania, is their, you know, supposed to be their best creative time. They have it loaded with, you know, their three best things, Royal Rumble to me, WrestleMania, and the Elimination Chamber, which to me is a great concept, and it's just disappointing in the fact that it's just been, it has not been the best start to the year. And it's, I don't know, it's disappointing because it is such a good concept, and they haven't said anything about it. They haven't driven it home of why they want you to separate yourself from that money. You know, people are going to skip this and wait on WrestleMania. This, it's insane to me that they're just not, you know, driving home more of this. I mean, the Cena-Kane thing, I don't, you know, it's... It's been comedy, you know, unintentionally, unfortunately for them, you know, show after show after show for different reasons. You know, they had the two chambers, and they did nothing to get me to want to get excited about this or pay for it. It's almost like, okay, let's wait for Monday, and then we can really start it up leading into WrestleMania, and it's just, it's too bad. And it would be one thing if they, you know, had a brain fart this month, but as you've said, it's not like people have, you know, been throwing their money at WWE for pay-per-view, and it's just, it's frustrating.
Well, let's overthink this thing. Daniel Bryan, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Big Show, Great Khali, and Santino. Elimination Chamber match for the World Heavyweight title. Do you think Daniel Bryan is leaving with the title?
It wouldn't hurt my feelings. I'd actually like to see him do that, but I don't think he will. If it's going to be Sheamus choosing the guy off of this, which is, you know, very possible, I got to be honest. As loaded as the card is when you think of Rock and Cena, and, you know, yes, technically Sheamus gets the main event, but, you know, they did that with Del Rio and Edge last year, and they started the show. Wade Barrett and Sheamus at WrestleMania would not hurt my feelings. And, you know, looking forward, I don't think it's a bad idea because they're in a high-profile match, but they don't have to worry about being the most high-profile thing on the show with Punk and Jericho and obviously with Rock and Cena.
I had been thinking that Daniel Bryan was going to win, and maybe he will, but the more I think about this, the more I think that someone is going to replace Santino and win the title, and then Sheamus is going to challenge that person. And it may be Christian. He's in town, teasing he's going to be back. The reason I've been thinking about this is because the Royal Rumble has always been built up as like this big event, and it's the beginning of the road to WrestleMania, and Sheamus won, and since that time, he's just like been doing matches, you know? And the road to WrestleMania is now does not begin at Royal Rumble, really. It kind of begins at Elimination Chamber because Sheamus won, and then he's like, well, I'll wait till Chamber to decide who I'm going to face for the title. So I'm sitting there kind of thinking, well, you know, that kind of puts the whole storyline on hold. That kind of, you know, the old days of the storyline beginning at the Rumble and ending at Mania, now it's like he's just kind of in a holding pattern, and there's nothing exciting about it. So I'm thinking, well, if Daniel Bryan is going to win the Chamber, and you're going to do Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus at WrestleMania, then why don't you just have Sheamus, after Royal Rumble, say that he was going to challenge Daniel Bryan for the World Heavyweight title? And then, if anything, at this show here, you've got the intrigue of, well, maybe Daniel Bryan won't have the title. But if Daniel Bryan is going to be the one that's going to be defending, why don't you just set that match up at Royal Rumble so you'd at least have an extra four weeks of build? I mean, I don't get it. Maybe he's not going to retain the title. Maybe they are going to have Christian go over. It was the last time Christian was in WWE before he got hurt, he was feuding with Sheamus. So maybe Christian wins, and it's Christian and Sheamus at WrestleMania. I don't know. I don't know. It's a very strange situation. We'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. Also preview the rest of the card, and I'll get your thoughts on this road as well. And Christian, Daniel Bryan, and Sheamus, and the whole shebang. Coming up after the break, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking all the news, pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. I am turning over in my head the idea of a winner for the SmackDown Chamber. I up until this morning, had figured Daniel Bryan, but then I got to thinking, well, if it's Daniel Bryan, why didn't they set up Sheamus and Daniel Bryan right after the Royal Rumble and set up Elimination Chamber as someone coming in and possibly spoiling that match? Why did Sheamus wait? To me, it takes away the excitement of the Royal Rumble. Guy wins and then hangs out for a month. Great! I want the guy to win and the road to begin, but those days are over. I don't know why you need two chambers at Elimination Chamber. A lot of questions about this show, but I'm not booking, so my vote doesn't count. Mike, your thoughts on all of this?
You know, old pro wrestling style, you know, Sheamus, I'm challenging the champion, and if, you know, whoever wins the title has got to pick up the champion's bookings. Yeah, so it would have been just easier that way. It would have been just easier to build, you know, again, either a one-month or a two-month thing, and that drives me nuts anyway. Whoever wins the Royal Rumble, you know, name who you're going to face and have a long lead into it. Having the Elimination Chamber, and again, I like the concept. To have it in between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, to me, is really insanity. I would rather use it coming out of WrestleMania, set up new feuds, see how you're going through the, you know, the end of the year, but that would just be me. I just think it's just too much stuff, and it's everything becomes superfluous and it doesn't mean as much, you know, when you can have all of these changes. And yeah, I mean, Christian could take Santino's place tonight. Obviously on his Twitter he said, you know, hi from Milwaukee or whatever it was, so maybe they're just doing that as a, you know, as a show to try to, you know, throw everybody off and think he's going to be in there or something like that. But you know, again, Daniel Bryan, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to see Daniel Bryan and Sheamus at WrestleMania. It would be the best thing for Sheamus, but in a way also because of all the big and flashy stuff that's on there and the possibility of, like, you know, Show and Shaq, if that's, you know, still in the air, and Goldust and Cody is possible and things like that, I would rather see Daniel Bryan in a good wrestling match against somebody, and, you know, even without the title. Now, it doesn't do much for him. But again, too, I don't know with how he's been portrayed, even though he's done a really good job with, you know, the cards he's been dealt, and, you know, having himself, you know, scream out he's a vegan and all that sort of stuff. I just think, to me, of everybody in there, the only thing that makes sense to me, and yes, Christian could come in and beat Sheamus. I wouldn't have a problem with that, or come in, win the title and go on and face Sheamus, because you can get people to boo him instantly on the TV show if he, you know, gets a roll on and starts talking, so no issue there. But I just think Sheamus Barrett's a far, far better idea. And in fact, you know, if Christian is going to come back, I'd rather see Christian as a good guy and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, because at least you know you're going to get a hell of a match. It would be a great way for Christian to come back, too.
The only problem is they just blew off Wade versus Sheamus.
But did they have, you know, I know, and they were good working together on SmackDown and everything, but I mean, I don't know if was that big of a deal or that focused upon as far as that company goes, where you couldn't do it again for the title. I mean, I honestly don't think it was that high impact and that, you know, necessary where it's, let's say, whoa, no, we just did this, we got to hold off on it. I don't think it was, you know, that big of a deal.
Reason Santino's in this match is because Randy Orton is out. Suffered a concussion during a match with the Big Show on Raw. Didn't feel he'd be cleared in time. So he was removed from the match, and they did a battle royal on SmackDown, which Santino won. My wife is overjoyed. Santino getting a championship match at Elimination Chamber.
Mine as well, although I had to remind her about Kofi Kingston getting laid out when everybody was happy about him coming in and getting beat up and laid out 2-3 years ago, whatever it was now, before he was supposed to be in his first one. So yeah, the Cobra may strike himself or something like that.
I told her he's not winning. And she goes, yes, he is winning. He deserves it. God bless her. But if someone replaces...
the debate on Monday.
If somebody replaces Santino and wins the title, that is a definitive, a change of plans for a WrestleMania main event match. That would suggest that someone else is going to win here. I don't know.
The Rock.
I don't know. And you know what? You could always have Daniel Bryan win, and then Christian just comes back and challenges him for WrestleMania, and Sheamus chooses the whoever is champion on Raw. You could do that as well if you wanted to. Although, in the Raw Championship match, Punk, Ziggler, Jericho, Miz, Truth, and Kofi, my guess is that either Punk retains or Jericho wins, and I put my vote in for Jericho winning, and, you know, I think Punk chasing for the title is a better storyline than Jericho as a heel chasing Punk for the title. I just think it's a much, much better dynamic. I will say that there were three names that were being bandied about for Royal Rumble winner this year. And one of them was Sheamus, who did win. One of them was Jericho. And one of them was even John Cena. They had a wacky storyline that if, you know, John Cena won, and he would have to decide whether he was going to give up the title match or give up the match with Rock. And, of course, Rock would win out, which would devalue the title. But regardless, they went with Sheamus. But point is, had Jericho won the Rumble, then Jericho would have been going into WrestleMania as the challenger. So if they decide they're going to still go the direction that they had planned originally, that would mean that most likely Punk would retain in this match, and Jericho would, in fact, continue to chase for the title. And it's kind of a strange storyline of CM Punk continually calling himself the best in the world, stealing Jericho's line and being champion, and Jericho, the irate heel, it is being rubbed in his face, and he cannot prove that he is the best in the world and win the title over and over again. So that's kind of an odd little storyline, but maybe that's the way they want to go. Jericho, the last entrant into the match based on a match on Raw, which I think everybody's forgotten by now. But your thoughts on that battle?
That idea of Jericho winning tonight, to me, makes the most sense, because I think Punk, you get more out of Punk chasing Jericho, being smarmy on Monday night, saying how he over, how, see how much better I was than all of these guys who steal everything. The original is still the best, and, you know, by somehow sliming himself into to a win here. So that idea I actually like a lot. It would make the most sense. Because I don't know, but my thing with Jericho not winning tonight, and again, he doesn't have to win at WrestleMania either. They can just put on an incredible performance and tear down the house, and Punk could just beat Jericho at Mania two straight times. But if Jericho were to win the title at WrestleMania, what are his other, you know, I don't know what his schedule is or anything else. He was doing stuff for ABC, I think, last summer, and I'm not sure where he stands that way. And again, I don't know. It's not like Chris Jericho needs to wear a title to be effective doing something with someone. So I just cannot see him, you know, if he is going to win the title, it's going to be, to me, from now to WrestleMania.
That is the Raw Elimination Chamber match. I don't think there's much of a chance of Ziggler, Miz, Truth, or Kofi winning. I would say 0% for all of them, but listen, they've done stranger things before. You never know. Maybe they'll put the title on Miz. I doubt it, but you never know. Sometimes you watch these shows and they do exactly what you think, and sometimes they do these shows and they figure, well, you know, everybody figures it's going to be Punk or Jericho, so let's throw a curveball in and let's put the title on R-Truth. And then, of course, sometime during Raw in the next month, they'll take it from Truth and put it on Jericho or something like that. You know, there are different things that they could do. But my guess is that WrestleMania is still going to be Punk versus Jericho and hopefully Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. But you never know.
Kane and hopefully Alberto Del Rio against The Miz for my own personal enjoyment.
That's right. Alberto Del Rio buried The Miz last week. Called him a little girl, I believe. Maybe called him a little boy. Regardless, he called him little. Called him a crybaby. Called him a whiner. Said he was...
Told the host of the show, I think it was, and I quote here, let me paraphrase at least, this isn't part of the show. I really want to punch this guy in the face.
Yeah. We'll get that match one of these days. Don't you worry.
Well, and then during the debate, too, and you can see where exactly, and obviously we talked about The Miz being a fine Cleveland Browns wide receiver and missing R-Truth completely, and then, you know, completely him trying to was so fired up to get something back on Monday night, flubbing his lines and then getting played out by everyone and the buzzer from the back. So, not good times right now for The Miz.
No. Not good times for The Miz. Or for us, Kane and John Cena.
You know what? I've turned on this now. As much as I've hated it, with the final thing on Monday, with everything that happened on Monday, actually every single thing that had anything to do with Eve, Kane, or John Cena on Monday, from the producer's hand in the shot to Eve walking into the limo to the cheesy kiss and John doesn't know what's going on, to Zach in a back brace, to the wilted flowers, to him off the stage on the mats, everything. I just turned on it, and it's just, you know what, if I don't think about this at all and I take this for sub-level, you know, bad soap opera, Maury Povich-style comedy, I'm fine with it. I'm fine.
I was perversely entertained by some of the stuff on Monday. The storyline still sucks. I can't wait for it to end. But there was some stuff on Monday when, oh my God, first a production faux pas, and then, like, Eve leaping to safety into the arms of John Cena and their disgusting kiss right there on national television, tongues all over the place. John Cena like, what was that for? What an idiot. And then looking over and there's Zach, who just happened to wheel his way up in a back brace, a neck brace, in that headband. He had to make sure he still spiked his hair and put on his headband. This whole thing was just a comedy of errors, quite frankly. This was a legit comedy of errors that we saw on Raw on Monday night. We'll talk about this when we get back from the break. I got more to say. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the old internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Talking the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which goes on the air immediately after we go off the air. And if you're not going to get the show, or if you are going to get the show, but you'd like to know what we thought about it, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. Dave Meltzer, live running play-by-play of the event as it takes place on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Who beat who? Match quality? Notes from the show? It's all going to be up there for free. Later on in the evening for subscribers who pay $10.99 a month, I might add, subscribers get a brand new Wrestling Observer radio show. If you like this show, well, you can get another one here tonight talking the results of the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. We'll talk the winners of all the matches. We'll talk everything that went down. We'll talk everything leading into Raw and all the news from the weekend. We do shows every single day at WrestlingObserver.com. If you love this show and you only get to hear it once per week, you are missing out every day. Brand new radio shows. We just did a new one last night. Got another one tonight. Got another one tomorrow. And I got shows coming up all throughout the week, including this coming Tuesday. We're going to be joined by one of the stars of the upcoming film Pizza Man. Diamond Dallas Page is going to be on the show on Tuesday, and he's got a lot to talk about. It's going to be a fun time. Lance Storm was on the show this past Thursday. We have shows. We have guests. We have analysis. We have pretty much everything you hear on this program. And you can check it out. WrestlingObserver.com. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest three free radio shows. In fact, we may have more than three up there right now. Download them. Check them out. If you like what you hear, just think. On an average Thursday, I do four shows. So you could have the equivalent of all of those shows on any given Thursday. So check it out. You also get our full archive. Every show we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives for members, meaning if you sign up today for $10.99, you can basically listen to every show we have ever done. You can listen to shows from 2006, the peak of TNA when the X Division was running wild. You want to hear us talk about how awesome TNA is? Well, listen to some of those shows from 2006, 2007. Pretty much every major news story has been covered at some point on a show. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, your Bruno Sammartinos, Ric Flairs, list goes on and on. All up in the archives right now. And as noted, later on tonight, for subscribers, brand new show running down Elimination Chamber, including the John Cena-Kane ambulance match, which thankfully is going to blow off this feud forever, or so I hope. Mike, is this the end, or are they going to kind of blow it off and do a rematch tomorrow on Raw?
I think the biggest thing in a lot of the horror flicks, like, Freddy, what was it, Jason in Space or whatever it was, when they were doing all the Nightmare on Elm Street and all these movies where it's like, at the end, you think it's over, but then you see, like, you know, an eye open or something twitch or something move. So you know what? Maybe your nightmares are going to come true, and right after The Rock leaves, we're going to be right back to Kane and John Cena again.
Yeah.
Won't happen.
I think that there's a possibility it continues on Raw tomorrow. And the reason I say that is because Raw, we've got a bunch of big returns coming up. Not tomorrow, but the week after. I think Rock's first big appearance on Raw is the week after, next week's Raw. And Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, I think they're all coming back for, Undertaker for sure is not tomorrow, but the week after. So tomorrow could be the blow-off day for this feud. They do the ambulance match, I don't know, John Cena wins, but you see the big glove come out the window, or whatever the case may be, and then tomorrow it's like last man standing, John Cena versus Kane on Raw. Because John Cena and Rock doesn't need to really start till Rock comes back. So the whole Kane-John Cena feud was just something to do for John Cena until they started the build to WrestleMania. So if Rock isn't back tomorrow, it's possible that that they need to have John Cena do something for one more week, which would be a blow-off match with Kane. I think it's a bad idea, but you know, there are storylines here that need to be tied together. What is the fate of Eve? What is the fate of Zack Ryder? Will all of this just be dropped? They've got to go somewhere with this. So,
well, not necessarily. I mean, like you said, will it all just be dropped? This could all go the way of the Raw GM.
Yeah, it's possible. It could just all be dropped. I mean, I can't imagine Zach being back today, but I've said that before, and he's been back. You know, it's a Wile E. Coyote show now. So I guess we shall see. The other match on the show tonight, Beth Phoenix and Tamina Snuka for the Divas title. They've been pushing Tamina very hard. Maybe she'll win the belt tonight. I don't think it matters. But those are the only four matches. I suspect they'll add something else. Because really, let's see here. If you have a chamber match, go a half hour. Another chamber match, go a half hour. Ambulance match, go a half hour, which is a God forbid. That's an hour and a half. You've still got another hour and a half left. Add in even a half hour of video packages. Beth and Tamina isn't going more than 5 minutes. You still have room for one other long match or two short matches. So my guess is they're going to add something. John Laurinaitis has promised on Twitter that he's going to make a game-changing announcement tonight. And he capitalized game, which I presume means something to have to do with Triple H. I don't know. But most likely it'll be just like, you know, David Otunga gets a match.
David Otunga actually makes the coffee that he puts in his thermos. Yeah, but just Kane and John Cena for a minute again, too. I think it's definitely going to go through till tomorrow night, just because of what you said about tying up loose ends. You know, Zack Ryder and the bet. Yeah, it's because, you know, it's hard to imagine Kane not being at WrestleMania. It's hard to imagine me, for at least for me, him with the character he's in now being in a Money in the Bank type of match. So Kane and Zack Ryder at WrestleMania would actually make, wouldn't be great, but it would make sense. And, you know, have even there. So, yeah, I mean, this has got to go to Monday, because if nothing else, they need to transfer this thing over, you know, and then have The Rock either, you know, come up in a promo tomorrow night or just wait till, you know, next Monday. And then it's going to be Cena and Rock. So, yeah, I think this is definitely going to go through till Monday. And Beth Phoenix, I would think, would be Tamina, because at WrestleMania, you'd figure either Karma, which I don't necessarily know that they'll do, or her and Natalya, who have kind of teased something because Beth has blown through everybody. This match with Tamina is happening because she was impressed by her in an eight-woman tag match that was over quick, and she hit the Superfly Splash. So Beth winning here and then going on to face either Natty or Karma, I think, makes the most sense.
I had not thought of that, but you are correct. That actually would make sense. Beat Tamina, and then Karma comes out, and there's your Karma-Beth Phoenix match for WrestleMania.
And that's, you know, and if, you know, and again,
Where has Karma been, by the way?
I don't know, but, thinking about how goofy the whole thing was with Triple H getting kicked out of the job because Beth was representing the women, even though she was, you know, playing dirty at the time, and, oh, God, you know, what a company this is and what we have to deal with, and they talk about things being dropped. There's a great example of it there. You know, the whole, you know, thing with John Laurinaitis, you know, I mean, his job still being in play up until, what, 2 weeks ago, then none of this other stuff was ever brought up again. You know, Jerry Lawler's not crying and complaining now about unsafe working conditions, but I don't know. And Natalya should probably, one of those two, and it's probably Natalya should be a face anyway. So even if, again, you know, Beth beats her, Tamina tonight, Karma comes out, and then Beth starts begging Natty for, you know, help, and then she just walks away from him. I guess you could do that, too.
I love looking at the Elimination Chamber on Wikipedia. Nothing better than reading these things on Wikipedia. They always have to throw in the line about how wrestlers portray villains or heroes as they follow a series of events that build tension and culminate in a wrestling match or series of matches. But this time, somebody has added, Elimination Chamber features professional wrestling matches that involve different wrestlers from pre-existing scripted feuds, plots, and storylines that will play out on Raw, SmackDown, and WWE Superstars. Really? So we had a Superstars fan here who just had to add that to the Wikipedia. Has there ever been a storyline? Is there going to be a single Elimination Chamber storyline that is going to play out on Superstars?
Yes.
Really? Which one?
Yoshitatsu.
He ain't on Elimination Chamber.
And Tyson Kidd both look at each other in front of a Superstar set backstage. This is how they're filling time tonight. They will look at themselves, Scott Stanford will be with them. They will, all three will look at each other and go, why are we always on superstars? And they will go out and then take Santino's Cobra, put it on Santino's own hand, kill him with the Cobra. Then all of them unite. Stanford wipes out the announcing booth. Those two get in the ring and wipe out everyone. They co-own the title, and then Sheamus faces both of them at WrestleMania.
Have you been drinking?
Not enough.
You know, this Elimination Chamber pay-per-view coming up here today, I don't know. There's a giant picture of Sheamus on the poster, and Sheamus isn't even on this show.
Well, you figure he's going to make some sort of appearance on
He's got to. He's got to have a match.
Yeah.
Who are you booking Sheamus against on this show?
You know, perfect. I just book him to kill someone. I mean, I would actually have maybe, you know, two or three matches you could put on there to fill the time, but at least two. I mean, I would have just put him in there with, I don't even know who.
Drew McIntyre. David Otunga.
Well, you know what? Drew McIntyre wouldn't be bad, you know, if you go, because at least I can go, you know, 7 minutes or 8 minutes, something like that, and then Sheamus can still crush him and look impressive coming out of it.
Has Sheamus beat up David Otunga lately?
I don't think so, no.
Because I'm just thinking, John Laurinaitis could come out and say, my big announcement is that tonight, Sheamus will be facing David Otunga, and if Otunga wins, he gets the title shot at WrestleMania.
And as long as it's not Sheamus Funkasaurus.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see the Funkasaurus tonight. As much as possible. Have you seen, by the way, the new Zack Ryder video, the first one he did since Monday's show?
No, and it was killing me. I was going to do it before we started today. I didn't get the chance to because hyping it up as the one-year anniversary and all that stuff. And, yeah, I cannot imagine after Monday how corny that thing could be.
There's a segment in there, and Zack is laying on his bed. Just is mind-boggling. He's laying on his bed, and he's got his back brace on, and he's got his neck brace on, and he's got that damn bandana on, and on the wall, there's, like, the, you know, his Z True Long Island Story logo. He's, like, got it on his wall in his bedroom, and he's sitting there, and he's angry, and he's ranting about how John Cena broke the bro code. And I'm like, gotta be kidding me. You know?
Listen. Off the stage, Holmes. I know he broke the bro code, but, you know, you got two battles to fight here.
If this were like a mid-card storyline, and it didn't involve the guy who's going to be facing The Rock at WrestleMania, I would probably be passionately in love with it. You know, if you had Zach, if you replaced John Cena with, like, I don't know, some random geek on any of the shows, and it wasn't like the focus of the main event segment on the show every week, I'd probably think the storyline was awesome. But God, this storyline is just like, I don't know. What is Rock thinking when he watches this? What is Rock thinking when he watches the storyline and is listening to this guy talk about how Cena broke the bro code and all of this goofiness, and he's like, yeah, this is the guy I got to face in presumably the biggest WrestleMania of all time. If I were Rock, I'd be like, please end this feud, like, you know, last week. Can you please end it for me? That's what I would be thinking. We got to talk more about The Rock, actually, after the break, because interesting news. That's right. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Before the break, I teased interesting news about The Rock. WWE announced that next year's WrestleMania is taking place in New Jersey. And Rock, at the press conference, announced that he would be there. Which begs the question, are we going to get Rock versus John Cena 2 next year at WrestleMania? Or is Rock merely showing up as a host? I want to talk about this. I've got a lot to say. I've been thinking. However, this is a short segment, and we've got another short segment after the top of the hour. So we're going to hold off that discussion until hour two. So, for the time being, we shall wrap up our news of the Elimination Chamber. Right now, as noted, four matches on the show. We are going to determine the World and WWE Champions going into WrestleMania. Presumably, there could always be a title change here that nobody's expecting, and the belt could go back on someone else between now and WrestleMania. I'm not a fan of that sort of thing, but they seem to have this idea that at least one title changes on every single show. Now, Sheamus on SmackDown last week actually said that the reason he was waiting to challenge someone for WrestleMania is because he said at Elimination Chamber, chances are one belt is going to change hands. Now, usually in WWE speak, back in the day, that would mean that, in fact, no title was going to change hands. But things change so frequently that anything can happen. Title could be put on anybody today on the show, and they'll shuffle everything into place over the next week. So anyway, that show is coming up immediately after we go off the air. Starts in about an hour, and as noted, if you want full results of the show, you can go to WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is going to be doing a live play-by-play of the event, and then afterwards, we are going to be doing a special radio show running down the full show, all the winners, losers, champions, what the matches are leading into WrestleMania, and we'll talk more about Raw coming up tomorrow night. So, we'll be back in just a moment after the top of the hour break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Quick note that Jesse Sorensen, who suffered a broken neck at the TNA pay-per-view last Sunday, Zema Ion came off the post with a moonsault. Both of his knees whacked Sorensen in the head. Sorensen went down. At the time, everybody thought he was just knocked unconscious. Turns out he broke his C1 vertebrae, which in fact can be a life-threatening injury. He had a broken neck and spinal swelling and could not feel his legs or had no movement in his legs. Had a tingling sensation. And he is home at this point. He is home and he is beginning his recovery. Starting to get feeling back in arms and legs, arm movement. Last I heard, they believe that within a year, he would make a full recovery. So that is good news. Whether he'll return to the ring, I guess we shall see. It is it's a tough injury. Breaking your C1, breaking your neck, never a good thing. And doctors will usually say probably not the best idea to return to in-ring action. But you never know. He is recovering. The swelling is going down. That would mean he's beginning to regain more movement and feeling in his legs. So good news for Jesse Sorensen. A very scary situation. I know in the UK, actually, when this when they showed the pay-per-view, they cut away during the moonsault and never showed any footage of it. So very concerned about Jesse Sorensen when they replayed it there. But apparently he's going to make a full recovery, so that is good news. Certainly was a very scary situation last week as far as information coming out about the state that he was in and not knowing anything and undergoing a lot of tests, and a lot of people were very, very worried. But Dixie Carter's calling it a miracle, and I guess we shall see. Certainly would be a heck of a storyline if he returned. But let's just hope that he recovers. That's number one. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Promised to talk about The Rock about 20 minutes ago. I would like to notice that somebody has noted that Chelsea has not been in TNA for over a year, and they nonchalantly mentioned, it's Chelsea, on the show on Thursday night. Backstory, please. Backstory. Now, Mike, WrestleMania is coming up. The Rock versus John Cena is the main event. As noted in the last hour, WWE is coming to New Jersey in 2013. We could actually talk about that in just a moment as well, the whole idea of WWE going to New Jersey in April. But point of all of this is that Rock was at the press conference and he said, I'll be there. Now, obviously, Rock can't say if the idea is to do a rematch. I'll be there for the big rematch. They obviously have to do the match first. But I was thinking about this. And I've had a lot of ideas about The Rock and John Cena. A lot of ideas about what to do. And as of, well, last I heard, actually, a couple of weeks ago, the idea was that John Cena is winning this year. And I actually first figured that out when John Cena did his promo where he vowed, he promised to win. And at least old school pro wrestling, the babyface never promises to win or swears to God that he's going to win if he's not going to win. It's just the way things go. So when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, they really are going to put John Cena over The Rock in Miami. What a preposterous idea. Now, there had also been a lot of talk of doing a multi-match series with The Rock, where you do Rock John Cena at WrestleMania, one of them wins, and then you do a rematch at SummerSlam, and the other guy wins, and then you could set up a rubber match at next year's WrestleMania. I've been thinking that that is a strong possibility. So, first off, Mike, your thoughts on putting John Cena over The Rock in The Rock's hometown of Miami at WrestleMania this year?
I don't know how you do that and not try to make John Cena a full-blown heel, because he's just going to get... They're going to kill him for it. And anybody who is a John Cena fan by the end of that match is going to be... You know, I would figure with all the other Rock supporters, just, you know, because they're going to just overwhelm them where... You can do it. I mean, to me, it makes the most sense. Obviously, Cena's the guy who's there all the time, but the way this thing has played out, you know, I don't know. Why not? Yeah, Cena over The Rock, it makes the most sense. It's not like Rock's hurt by this. And honestly, in a way, I'm fine with The Rock becoming the new Undertaker if he wants to come back every year and just be involved in something, because at least the one thing with him is he doesn't care about losing.
That's true.
And I don't know. Cena should win the match at WrestleMania. It's just the way this whole thing has gone. And again, I don't know how long you have Rock for, if it would just be spotty appearances or anything like that. But, you know, Rock winning there, I mean, Rock losing at WrestleMania, I don't know. If you can get him for SummerSlam, no matter what you do, to me, you can be a winner out of the deal as long as you have the other one win at SummerSlam. You know, to plan this out for three matches, you know, that's possible too. But, you know, it's a no-lose situation for The Rock to say he's going to be there next year. You know, it's New York. It's in, you know, we're calling it New Jersey. You know, it's essentially New York. It's where the Giants play. You know, they got to mention New Jersey in there because that's where it's being held and everything. But you know, realistically, you know, it's a New York metropolitan area show. So him on Saturday Night Live next year, him doing media appearances, all that sort of stuff, it's a no-lose for him because it makes WWE have to pay him. You know, I know The Rock would do all of this stuff for free. He loves wrestling so much and his family history so much, but he's not doing it for free. So it's a no-lose situation for him to say it, and it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to wrestle next year. It's just going to be he'll be at WrestleMania 29 in New York City, which... You know, who knows what they're going to do next year if they actually do, you know, WrestleMania 30, which, you know, they usually do these things every decade at Madison Square Garden in the New York metro area. A lot of people are thinking this could be happening for 29 because 30 is going to be in Dallas, which then you get Austin. You could do Austin Rock if you wanted to, if Austin is going to do one more match and all that stuff, too. So I think The Rock announcing he's going to be there wouldn't necessarily be a tell for anything. It's just a no-lose situation for him to say it and then to spike up interest a year in advance.
I was thinking about this after he announced that, and I know they are planning, or were planning, on having John Cena win in Miami, but I just think that's a god-awful idea. I just think the idea of beating The Rock in Miami is going to get like the worst reaction in the history of wrestling. Especially losing to John Cena. And I don't know if it's possible to get... Because obviously, they don't want to turn John Cena heel. And I think they're trying to get the anti-Cena fans to boo him even louder because it kind of plays in the story. I don't even know what they're trying to do, to be honest with you. Like, I need to ask Dave this tonight. When we're reviewing Raw, Dave is talking about the Eve Kiss storyline, and he notes, well, they finally got the people to boo John Cena. And I was like, what? The people have been booing John Cena forever. What do you mean they finally got him to boo John Cena? You know, I don't get what they're trying to do. I mean, if you want people to boo John Cena, they already are, number one. And if you want everybody to boo John Cena, just turn him heel. So I'm a little confused as to the whole idea here. But, I mean, it's the idea that we got to do something to make sure that John Cena is booed in Miami, because obviously he's going to be booed in Miami. You could book John Cena exactly as you've been booking him, and the people are still going to cheer The Rock in Miami. So I still don't get all of this, but let's just go with the idea that the idea is they want people to cheer The Rock and boo John Cena in Miami. Okay, that's going to happen. So with that all said, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, well, how can you do this whole thing so that maybe next year you can get people to cheer Cena and boo The Rock? Now, I don't know if this is even possible, but maybe you could do a deal where at this year's WrestleMania in Miami, everybody cheers The Rock and they boo John Cena. And instead of putting John Cena over in Miami, which I think is complete idiocy, I think you put over The Rock. And maybe you do it in such a way that it's kind of a heelish win for The Rock. Or maybe John Cena had a visual pinfall and whatever happens. But John Cena at least has an argument for a rematch. And the next day on Raw, he comes out and he says, Rock, you beat me in your hometown. But next year, WrestleMania is coming to the Northeast and I want you in a rematch. And at that point, you have The Rock say, not interested. I got stuff to do. I got movies to make. I'm leaving. The same thing that John Cena has complained about, and Rock has claimed that he doesn't actually leave. He's always been here. He's going to be here forever. Just have Rock come out and say, nah, I beat you. I'm going back to movies. I got better things to do. Then maybe you can have some people boo The Rock. And you can build this up for another year, and John Cena can get his win next year at WrestleMania in the Northeast. Maybe he still won't be cheered. Maybe the New York fans are still going to boo John Cena out of the building. It's possible. But hey, at least it's a storyline. It's something. It builds up a rematch. And you can beat The Rock in the Northeast as opposed to beating him in Miami.
You know, you've created a tough scenario, though. You know where SummerSlam's at this year?
Where's it at?
Hollywood. In Los Angeles. So do you think The Rock, I mean, it's a tough situation when you look at it. It's like, how in the world would Rock get booed in any of those places? Really, look, Rock's going to get cheered no matter what. He can turn the crowd, a segment of the crowd against him. He can be, I mean, look, he had Hurricane Helms, you know, he was the good guy. Hulk Hogan was the good, you know, Rock can do it, and obviously people are going to cheer him. But with that said, I mean, it's just treating John Cena not like a D-bag and not, you know, him coming across that way. Have him kick ass, because the crowd always reacts to him when he's beating somebody up, when he did it against Kane, when he did it, Alberto, I think it was, after the Money in the Bank match with Punk. You know, when he's being serious, people are still going to boo him, but still, if Cena's taken seriously, this thing can work with The Rock.
Let's talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts leading into the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, the final pay-per-view before WrestleMania this year. We've been talking about John Cena and The Rock, potential scenarios. SummerSlam in Los Angeles, next year's WrestleMania, this year's WrestleMania, who wins where, a lot of different ways that they could go. And you could You could have The Rock win in Miami and John Cena win in Los Angeles at SummerSlam and build up that rubber match next year. But to me, I don't know. It's going to be hard to boo The Rock, especially when his opponent is John Cena for a lot of these fans. But I do think that you've at least got a chance if Rock really does become that guy that wins his big match, perhaps even via somewhat underhanded tactics, and then walks away and says he's not interested in coming back. And John Cena has a year's worth of material burying this guy. And finally, next year, The Rock can have had enough. I've had enough! Fine! I'll face you in New York City! And I'll beat you again, or whatever the case might be. And you build up the big rematch. So, a lot of different ways they can go, but I still think beating The Rock in Miami, bad idea.
The Rock and Sock connection against John Cena and Zack Ryder next year in New York.
I wish you hadn't said that. you could do that at SummerSlam, but I don't think we're going to see it.
I don't think Nick could pull it together in time. Just as slow as he looked going into the Royal Rumble, and not trying to, you know, make fun of Mick Foley or anything like that, but sometimes he would need some time to really get it together.
What do you think about Mania in New York, New Jersey in April 2013?
It's risky, and let me separate my longtime pro wrestling fandom mind and sports fan mind with the reality mind. As a fan, and as somebody who's gone to sports in snow and ice, and somebody who's watched wrestling over the years, Battle of the Belts in Florida being in the rain, I think part of the Shea show in New York was in the rain. There's been plenty of shows that I've seen. You know, the Bash Tour in 86, I think there were a couple places when it rained. I would be fine with it. You're going for an event. It happens in sports all the time. Yes, I mean, and it's New York, and obviously they have a reason to do this at the new Giant Stadium and everything, so I don't fault it or mind it, but the flip side is, and I know a lot of people don't like dealing with this stuff, but Super Bowls, there's a reason they didn't put a Super Bowl in New York or at in Washington when there was talk about it after 9/11, and do you give them a Super Bowl? The reason they don't do it is because of the weather. Now, I know it's not exactly like snowy season, but, you know, there's always a chance of snow. There's always a chance it's cold and rainy and wet and miserable in the beginning of April. So you have to look at, I mean, Minnesota, there's a dome there, and still they don't like putting Super Bowls there because the people that travel there and everybody that comes there, reporters bitch and moan, and it's cold and it's miserable. There's a reason they usually have it in places that are, one, you put them near international airports and big hubs because the amount of people that you're going to get, you know, in big areas. But it's also because of the weather, because of all the conventioneering stuff and all the side events that go on. That's why, and I know as a wrestling fan, you don't want to take that part into consideration, but you have to, and it's a risk. It's, you know, the stadium's fantastic. It's, you know, you have metro access to and from it, which was different than the Meadowlands. You know, there's a lot of pluses to it being there. The big minus is obviously the fact that I don't think they would build a temporary, you know, dome for this thing or a temporary cover. There'll be enough cover for the ring and all the pyro and anything that they is that sensitive. They're going to do so. It's a matter of the comfort for the fans that are there if it does happen to be craptastic outside. But, you know, realistically, again, especially if they're not going back to the Garden next year, the new renovated Garden, which is, you know, completely possible, because when do they do a WrestleMania that close together? You know, it's been a long, long time. What, you know, 3 and 4 or 4 and 5 were at the same place at Trump Plaza, but they usually try to spread it out because of the money it brings in for the towns and the way it looks for WWE. So, you know, obviously they have a reason to do it. The only roll of the dice is the weather.
I am reading from NJ.com, New Jersey, real-time news. This was March 31st, 2011. April showers could pack some snow over parts of New Jersey. Rain and precipitation could turn to snow on April Fool's Day in northwest New Jersey. Winter storm warning in effect. 5 to 10 inches of snow are possible in that part of the state. That would suck.
Yeah, if that happened, now that's a doomsday scenario. That would be bad if it was at the Garden. But at least you can, there are people that could trek on foot there where you would, that's a doomsday scenario but again, a huge roll of the dice here. It's, again, big risk.
You know what, also, when you talk about sports fans, fans can show up in cold weather and they can bundle up. They can put on their jackets, their hoods, their scarves, everything like that. But even during a winter football game where there is rain and snow and it's very cold, the football players still aren't out there performing in their underwear. You know, you can put a big thing over the ring, which obviously they're going to do, but that's a long walk in cold weather. Even if they've got some sort of contraption over the ring that is not only going to provide great lighting and protection from the elements, but also some heat for the performers, you're still going to have to do a long walk in freezing weather. And I'm not sure what that's going to do to somebody's body. You warm up all that time backstage, and then you pretty much have to go out in the freezing cold in your underwear and make that long walk to the ring. I mean, yeah, I suppose they could put them in like some sort of covered cart. Or maybe they all have to wear these giant robes. It could just potentially be a very strange WrestleMania.
Plus, think of the mental state of those guys walking out there in their underwear with shrinkage.
That's true.
Very cold.
Hadn't considered that.
So you got to think about that. You got to think about all aspects of everything when it comes to this stuff.
I remember when I used to work out at Buddy Wayne's garage in the winter, and he had a heating. It was inside, and he had a heating light over the ring. But my God, getting going when it was cold was like a near impossibility. Body ached and just, it's no good. I don't know about this idea.
I'm surprised, and I'd have to look at the schedule too, because I don't know if it's the Rangers or the Knicks or what's taking place at the Garden where they decided not to go that direction and use that. I mean, obviously, I know it's a stadium show, and I know you're limiting yourself at Madison Square Garden, but that's when you jack up the ticket prices, because you are only going to get, oh God, what is it, 20,000 in the Garden, whatever it is, and the pour over at the Felt Forum and all that sort of stuff. So you jack the ticket prices up, because I know they wanted 70,000 people there. But again, I didn't realize that forecast last year. I knew the winter was bad the last 2 years. On the East Coast, this one's actually been great so far, but I didn't even realize it was that bad last year, and I didn't really take that into account either with everyone coming in with flu-like symptoms on Monday.
Now I will say that I'm looking at the weather for East Rutherford, New Jersey today. Not too bad, kind of cold, but looking forward, the farthest I can go forward here is the, they're just looking at like past weather, and we're looking at March 31st. The average temperature is a high of 56 degrees and a low of 35. That's not bad. The record high on March 31st in East Rutherford, New Jersey is 88 degrees. I take that. The
is that
low,
like
however,
89?
The low is 19.
You gonna make the trip cross country for that? I know you love the snow.
19 degrees.
That's without the wind chill.
That sucks.
Yeah, 19 with the wind chill. That's zero.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll see how it goes next year, everybody. We'll see how it goes. All right. On to some other news here. Let's actually do some questions before we head up to the break here. We got a couple of them. This person here says, with the reports of CM Punk popping up on a morning show clean shaven, my question is, are there guidelines for superstars who want to change their hair color style or facial hairstyle? If I remember correctly, there was some heat thrown at Zack Ryder for a change in hair color several months back. Is it just a matter of how high up the worker is if they get heat? Or it's something they have to clear or run by management first? I think largely it's, I mean, you got to consider that they've got barbers. They've actually got a barber backstage. So,
not Beefcake, people.
No, not Beefcake. But, as far as like tattoos, I mean, you got to get clearance to get new tattoos. I do know that. And probably if you have like long hair and you decide you're going to cut it all off, you probably should clear that with the office, especially if you're a low card guy. If you're a main eventer, I mean, do you really think Undertaker cleared with the office before he shaved his head? Maybe he did, but probably just shaved his head. I don't know. Probably depends on how high up on the card you are. That's probably the most important thing. But yeah, if you're going to make a drastic change to your appearance, it's probably a good idea to alert the office.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chavo and Eddie, you know, I think was the last notable example on SmackDown when they shaved their heads. And they're like, Jesus, you know, we could have done something hair versus hair. Punk and Raven, you know, that thing with TNA and ROH were doing, you know, God, years ago now. Yeah, I mean, they put a lot of, it's because, again, it's the non-wrestling part. It's the marketing stuff. It's color schemes. It's all that sort of stuff where, yeah, you know, it's amazing you can be an independent contractor, but their property to the level that it is, but they got a lot of things at play there. So, yeah, I think even the main guys, they really, it's got to be frowned upon, but, it, you know, at least you can blow that over a little bit.
I don't think they care about, like, a short beard versus no beard. But if you grew, like, a big, long beard, you probably should talk to him. But Punk wasn't like, he didn't have a thick beard. He just had some, he had a beard, and he shaved
it. And he's been consistent back and forth, having it on and off.
Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here talking all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Elimination Chamber coming up in about 20 minutes. Live running play-by-play up at WrestlingObserver.com. Later on this evening, Dave Meltzer and I, a brand new edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, running down the results of the show, all of the matches, the road to WrestleMania, Raw, everything else, all the news from the weekend. That is coming up later on this evening, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Head up there and check it out. Right-hand side of the page, latest three free radio shows. Listen to them. If you like what you hear, that's exactly what you get in the members area. Those are exactly like our members-only shows. Same audio quality, same shows. So later on tonight, myself and Dave, should be a fun time. Check it out. The Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, preview that in the first hour. Here in the final big segment on the show, we're going to answer some questions and talk about some news, particularly the departure of Vince Russo from TNA. As I noted at the beginning of the show, a lot of people were just waiting. Oh my God, what's Brian going to say about the departure of Vince Russo? Oh my God, he's going to rant for hours. I really haven't said much about it, largely because Vince Russo has been gone for a while, quite frankly. He lost a lot of his power. It's pretty evident on television, starting about 3 months back or so, when Bruce Pritchard kind of took over, and you could just tell. Shows were very different. They were better, less stupid segments, less polls, whole nine yards. And that's the reason he quit, was he lost power. And the other key to not really talking a whole lot about this is Vince Russo lost power in WCW back in the late 90s and went home. Then he came back, he lost power again, went home. So, you know, when he loses power, he leaves, and somehow he always finds a way to come back. So I don't expect him back anytime soon. But I don't rule anything out. I mean, Dixie Carter has been high on this guy for a decade now. So I'm sure if push comes to shove, he can find a way back to TNA at some point. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, he's gone. And we shall see how things go. David Lagana is helping out at this point. A lot of people feel he's going to end up the lead booker, or at least in a position of booking power. I guess we shall see. Bruce Pritchard is still kind of in charge right now. Lagana is giving ideas and that sort of thing. But TV, there have been some changes made since Russo departed at the pay-per-view, or shortly before the pay-per-view. Actually, it was late last week we first heard about it. Word broke on Sunday. And there were some changes, not major changes, but we'll see where it goes over the next several months. TNA is in a point where I don't know if they can be remedied, to be honest with you. It's been many, 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 many years of treading water and failure. So it's not like you bring in probably even, actually, I don't know about Vince McMahon nowadays with WWE anyway, but I don't know who you could bring in where things would just turn around. I don't know if it's possible. But things will things have been better, and hopefully they continue to improve leading into lockdown. Mike, your thoughts on the doom of Vince Russo?
Now, you say he's been gone for several months, and how long has this Kane Cena storyline been going on?
Well, he hasn't been gone, but he lost his power.
Somebody said something, he could pop back up in WWE. He was like, no, he won't. They brought him back for one day last time around, for all intents and purposes, and it didn't quite work out according to plan. They're going to have a lot worse ratings than a 3-1 or whatever it was this past Monday for them to freak out and do something like that. But, when the Ring Cock King, when David Lagana signed on there, everybody's eyes kind of went up. And then, he's working on Ring Cock King, and, Jeff Jarrett's not really going to be around, and we're going to use different guys who, like Jimmy Rave and Sanjay Dutt, who are not under contract with TNA. And it was like, well, okay, maybe this is going to be, let's see how this goes. As soon as that taping was over and they taped everything in 2 weeks, it was like, well, Dave Lagana still got a job. Bruce Pitchard is, was already, entrenched and announced as taking on more. So it seemed to be that the writing was on the wall, but I would assume, there's really nowhere else Vince Russo can go, I think, wrestling-wise, and make a living at it. It just, obviously, he would not go to Ring of Honor for no matter. And by the way, Jerry Jarrett, for not being April 1st, did a great job on his Facebook, I think it was, or whatever it was. He put it up and said that, hey, he's going to be working with Jim Cornette in Ring of Honor, and people actually believing that just to needle and to rib Cornette. I thought was hilarious, and even more hilarious in the fact that some people actually took it and ran with it.
You mentioned Raw doing a 3-1 and that not being low enough to bring back Vince Russo. I don't think that if they were doing a 1-9, they'd bring back Vince Russo, because at this point, he has a track record for failure. There was a period where he could spin all of his WCW numbers, and he could spin all of his WWF numbers from the late 90s, and he could claim to have been this savior of wrestling and that sort of thing, but it has now been years and years and years in charge of TNA, and they're still doing a 1-1. He does, and the buy rates are even worse. The buy rates under Vince Russo have just collapsed, just like they did in WCW, actually. Buy rates under Vince Russo and WCW absolutely collapsed, and they collapsed in TNA as well. And I can't even conceive of these people going, who we need is Vince Russo.
Well, it could only be the arrogance of one guy to do it and say, well, when I held him in check, we did this, and this. But I just can't see that happening. I just really can't. And again, the TNA thing makes the most sense. If the Ring Cock King thing, but let's just say that takes off, and it's realistic that it could, as far as going a couple of seasons where, you can bring back Russo and utilize him for other TNA-type projects if Dixie really likes him and wants to continue with him in some capacity, or keep him, at arm's reach just in case she does, if something happens that they don't like with Lagana and Pritchard and whoever else. So I don't know. I guess the real casualty in this is his son, which I know people may snicker at who are listening to the show. But, he decided to quit because his father was leaving, and apparently he was doing a decent job in production. So, kind of too bad there.
What did you think of UFC on Fuel Wednesday?
Did not see it, actually.
Oh, my God. No Fuel?
Well, got Comcast, and they actually put Fuel on when they changed a bunch of channels. They put Fuel on, and then it was right back off again in the blink of an eye. So I don't know what that was about. You have access to Fuel on Demand things, but not to the Fuel network itself. So thank you, Comcast, which is not a surprise in what they do. For some reason, in my Latino package, I have no access towards Univision whatsoever. It's not for free. You cannot bundle it with the Latino package at all. Yet if you take the wire out of the box and plug it right into the TV, for some bizarre reason, there's Univision out of Washington, D.C. So I don't really know what happens with Comcast, but I don't like it.
You have Fuel on Demand?
Yes.
What in God's name would people demand from Fuel?
I don't know, because I haven't even bothered to check it out. It's been on there forever, so I'm sure it was all their extreme sports and all that sort of stuff. I would, because there is a UFC on demand, and they have a great library of stuff on there, I would assume it's just still the extreme sports stuff in their original programming that they had before the network became, basically 75% UFC.
Diego Sanchez and Jake Ellenberger was awesome. It was an awesome fight. So awesome that Dana White afterwards said, you know what? Originally, all Fuel and FX main events were only going to be 3 rounds, but now they're all going to be 5. Had it been a 5-round fight, good possibility Diego Sanchez would have won that fight, because he was rocking Ellenberger at the end of that third round, really throughout the third round. He had a hell of a third round. In fact, he had such a good third round that I almost gave it a 10-8, which would have resulted in a draw on my card. But Ellenberger made an escape there at the very end of the round, and so I gave it to Diego 10-9, and Ellenberger won the fight. But that was a great fight. That was a great fight. And that leads us to UFC Japan this coming weekend. And a 4-hour show. There's going to be all of the prelims on FX, except for one. And then the main show is going to be 4 hours long. So for those of you on the East Coast, we're talking 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Long time. And Mike, what are your thoughts on that show?
Yeah, it's a good idea, obviously, because, I just, with it taking place in Japan and everything else going on, I mean, they've always had issues with those, outside of the one from Brazil last time around. Shows coming from other countries don't have a history of being great draws for whatever reason. Obviously, a lot of times it comes to time, but, having a 4-hour show, I've always been a big proponent of that. I mean, if you're going to put it on there, you broadcast these things online, and boxing is the same way. You have cameras there, you're filming, you got announcers, you got international. Internationally, they do this a lot with boxing, where they'll show the whole card, even though we're only getting the main pay-per-view in the United States. I think it's a really good idea. Now, don't expect people to go, to be right at your house early or anything like that when it comes to these shows, if they're going to start doing it more often and making them 4-hour shows. But, for this, I think it's a good idea. You might as well.
Let's do a couple of the questions here. We have a bunch of these, so let's get into them. This person said, if I held a gun to either of your heads, what are the odds of Paul Heyman ever returning to the pro wrestling scene outside of the WWE universe? I don't think holding a gun to our head is going to make any difference.
No.
I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's moved on with his life. Anything's possible. But
popping up like a Muppet for one thing or with one guy to get something going or something like that, I can actually absolutely see that.
I think it's possible, but I think with Heyman, it's like he's got to feel that this thing's got a chance, and I don't see any startup having a chance. So I don't see him coming back. He's got a family. He's got things to do. I think he's far more interested in MMA now than pro wrestling anyway. So I don't think you're going to see him back in pro wrestling. But again, you never know. This person says, any idea where the Drew McIntyre losing streak is going? I wouldn't be surprised if he was put in the chamber since he was in last year and had a great showing. It's possible he could replace Santino. That is entirely possible. Or as someone else noted in one of the emails, he could end up making a surprise return and winning Money in the Bank, which they planned a few years ago and yanked away from him. All I know is I was told that he does not have heat. So the losing streak gimmick is or at least it was, leading to something, unless they've dropped it. But, there's not a situation where he screwed up somewhere or his ex screwed up somewhere and he's taken the blame. It's just they have an idea for him, and we'll see how it goes. But I don't see him, if he's in the chamber, winning. I mean, I suppose they could do that, but I think that would be preposterous at this point, especially after how they've been booking him. But that's two people, actually, that have asked about him in emails here. What do you think?
I miss Tiffany. And you know what? Did they ever, in him coming, actually, he's good. And it's too bad that everything's happened. He's been, it happened with Morrison, too. And, I'm not in these people's lives or that locker room, so I don't know what the reason is of why they seem to take out, on these guys' wives and things like that, why they take it out on the wrestler themselves. But, and obviously Tiffany and Drew was a little bit of a different story. They got into trouble together oftentimes. But, I like Drew McIntyre, and he is good. He can carry himself. And if he can be rebuilt, I think it's a really good idea, considering, again, you're kind of low on superstars.
This person says, I was wondering, with the Impact Zone crowd seemingly been burned out of every pay-per-view and bringing the shows down, do you think they could freshen up the audience by charging admission to the shows? Even $5? Do you think that would make any difference? I don't think so. Fans have just been burned out of the Impact Zone. I mean, you've given them too much, too many angles, too much stuff. They get too much product. It is funny there. Even if you take into account crowd sweetening, they seem a lot more alive during the TV tapings. And I think it's because the shows are shorter, things are quicker. I don't think there's really an answer to the Impact Zone problem. We'll get Mike's thoughts after the break. But I think for now, they just got to get out of the Impact Zone. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Before the break, talking about the Impact Zone. Any way to freshen up that audience, keep them from being so dead at the pay-per-views, or is it a lost cause? Mike, what do you think?
I got to be honest, it's kind of a lost cause, though. They come across something that pops and is fresh, and it really surprises everybody. It's easy for me to spend their money. But I've been a big proponent of getting out of there for shows. I know they do that thing with, I forget who the NASCAR driver is now off the top of my head, in South Boston, Virginia. I don't know. I would try to get to places and to have pay-per-views out of there, if at all possible, every single time you can. I mean, England, the way that crowd was in England for those TV shows, and again, you know, they only get it once a year and stuff like that, so of course they're going to be hot for it, but just the Carolina shows, you get a better aesthetic feel when they're away from that place, and it does freshen it up watching the show. And that's, I think, the only thing they can do, again, unless they just stumble upon something that can actually make those people legitimately pop, because the crowd sweetening it's really bad, and it's really way overdone, and hopefully they can fix that in production, because you know, when you're showing shots of nobody and they're all sitting on their hands and people are going nuts, it's just ridiculous. And when you actually hear a crowd truly pop, like in England, and then you show them on pay-per-views at the Impact Zone doing nothing, it's rough. And, you know, there's pros and cons. You save costs, but that's the big drawback, is you burn people out, which, you know, in the olden days they didn't burn people out and they were going to the same place every week, so they just need to come across something hot.
WWE Elimination Chamber starting in just a moment. Head up to WrestlingObserver.com for live running play-by-play by Dave Meltzer. Later on this evening, Dave and I are going to be up. Brand new edition of Wrestling Observer Radio. We're going to be talking about all of the matches. Whether or not Santino Marella won the World Heavyweight Championship. Talking about Raw on Monday night, the road to WrestleMania, all of the big storylines. Whether Cena versus Kane must continue, or whether, thankfully, it's been blown off. All of that coming up. Check out WrestlingObserver.com for more. Want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back next week. Want to thank Mike, as always, all the folks at Sports Byline. Talk to you next week. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.